Hey up, my name's Ben, and this is the 2021 Advent Calendar by the WowWowWow Files. In this special series, I'll be here with a mini episode every day in the run-up to Christmas, talking about something synonymous with Stoke City. Thankfully, I'm not alone, as I've drafted in one of the greatest Stoke City experts out there to guide us through Advent. He's the Pottermus to my Pottermiss, Martin Cook. That was a nice one, wasn't it?
I've been sat here wondering how you're going to get a Pottermiss reference in there, but I'm hugely impressed of how you did that. Obviously, that was good, Ben.
Good.
Full credit to you.
In fairness, when I decided I was going to do these to introduce you, just to lighten the mood a little bit, get us going, that was the one that was in my head, like, before we'd even got the 2025 down. And I was like, how am I going to shove this in? And I was like, oh, well, there we go. We're talking about, literally, we've dedicated an episode to a sad hippo. So that was a shoo-in in the end. Yes.
Love it. It's the best part of the episode, of every episode, is your starting point. So it's all downhill now for the Pottermus, Pottermiss reference.
Oh, well, yeah. Surely Pottermus will come up again at some point. Must do. I'll make sure he does. Definitely costumes are going to come up again. Anyway, so I can see him looking inquisitively. You know what it's for. Day 11 is a really good one. The Banks of England. After a little bit of a downer in the last one, we've come up again with an absolute... It's a great one to talk about. Full disclosure, me and Martin probably did a podcast worth off-air talking about Gordon Banks. Hopefully we can replicate what we just said. But again, he's one like Sir Stanley Matthews that, like, we're not going to do him justice in 10-15 minutes. Go and do your research on him by yourself. There was a great documentary that came out, I think, by ITV, for example. And then, yeah, just go and... there's plenty on him. I think you're going to know loads anyway. But yeah, the headline is Gordon Banks, greatest goalkeeper ever. And we were just blessed to have him as a Stoke player. We'll start, Martin, quickly by talking about him coming with a huge reputation anyway as a World Cup winner.
Yeah, so we signed in April 1967. So he already came with a huge reputation. He'd already won the World Cup. But for whatever reason, he wasn't wanted by Leicester. And they opted to sell him £50,000 to us, which, you know, even looking back to sort of that period, that's a very low fee for what was and would still become, you know, one of the greatest goalkeepers of a generation, if not of all time. And we got 6 years of incredible service out of him as a player before his sort of Stoke City career was ended a little bit prematurely for a car crash, unfortunately. But yeah, so he came from Leicester, and that little twist of irony, Leicester signed Peter Shilton to replace him. Peter Shilton then sort of came to Stoke later on, almost as a replacement for Gordon Banks. So there's a whole load of interweaving stories and narratives in this one, potentially, for those who want to do a bit more digging.
Yeah, huge, huge. Like I say, we are just not going to be able to cover it all. But yeah, if we're going top level, we were quite fortunate to get him, really. One of the interweaving stories that I'm aware of is that I think when we signed him from Leicester, I think something that held the deal up was, I think Banks was due a loyalty bonus from Leicester, and Leicester didn't want to pay it, and there was just loads of negotiations back and forth that held the deal up, and eventually turns out I think Stoke actually made the loyalty payment in the end to Banks.
Yeah, so that is the gist of the story, basically. So there's some slight different variations, but essentially Banks was owed a certain amount, £2,000, I think it's quoted, as a loyalty bonus. Leicester didn't want to pay it to him, and Stoke paid it eventually, but they didn't tell Banks. So Banks was paid the £2,000, just assumed it was from Leicester initially. It wasn't until later down the line that he was actually found out he wasn't from Leicester, it was from Stoke, because Tony Waddington wanted to get the deal through that much, essentially.
Yeah.
But we were talking off air, Tony Waddington really took goalkeeping seriously. He saw goalkeepers as being a vital component of the team during an era where it was normally attacking players that received an awful lot of this kind of the kudos and the interest. And goalkeepers were sort of a secondary thought for many football managers. But Waddington was very much saw goalkeepers as being an essential part, which is why he chose to invest in Banks and then later Shilton.
Mm.
And it's probably one of his best signings, you could argue, for the money that he paid in terms of £50,000, but also in terms of the service that we got and the outcomes as well.
Oh,
he's an incredible servant to the club.
Absolutely incredible, isn't it? Like, when you look back, it's an absolute steal. And I know his career sort of ended prematurely with us, and that could have happened sooner even. But for what we got out of him, it was just fantastic. And yeah, you're right. It seemed a bit weird that goalkeepers were not rated as highly as your outfield players at the time. I always think that goalkeeping is important. And actually, they've been an important part in Stoke City's history, at least from Banks all the way through to modern day. I can't remember us having many poor goalkeepers. But yeah, I guess what would you judge a goalkeeper on back then? I mean, these days you've got so much, you got so many more stats. You've got, you know, the save percentage, you've got your win percentage with them in the team, you've got shots faced, you know, even your distribution these days, which wouldn't have been highly rated back in the day in the slightest, certainly not as much as it is now. What you're going to go off as a scout or something from back in the day, surely, is how spectacular your saves are. And my God, did Gordon Banks make a few spectacular saves?
Yeah, so everyone tends to talk about the 1970 World Cup and a save from Palais where he gets down low from a header and he manages to tip it basically off the floor over the bar, essentially. I'm sure there's been a few different media companies that have sort of voted that as being the greatest save ever recorded, but he was equally as impressive, if not more so, for Stoke. So, you know, he was part of that League Cup winning side in 1972. So, in the semi-final against West Ham, he made an astonishing penalty save from Jeff Hurst that sort of made us go through into the final stages. And again, another one of Martin's really useless facts. So Jeff Hurst missed the penalty, but it was Harry Redknapp who won the penalty. So there you go. But yeah, I think there's some, I'm sure there's a recording somewhere of Banks saving that penalty. And it was an astonishing save to, you know, to match the Palais one, essentially. But that wasn't the exception. That was the norm of Gordon Banks. He was renowned for being a hugely impressive goalkeeper. And that sort of showed in the way he was lauded by his contemporaries, by other players, by other managers, by the press. So we're saying off air, I think there were 5 years in succession where Banks was nominated as FIFA's Goalkeeper of the Year. So 4 of those years was while he was at Stoke. He was nominated and named as the Football Writers Association Player of the Year in 72. So he was only the second goalkeeper at the time to ever win that award. And he's one of only three goalkeepers to have ever won the award even now. You know, so that sort of showcases how good he was perceived and how good he actually was as a player. But again, similar to, we touched on Matthews earlier in the calendar, not just an amazing player, but also, you know, a true gentleman, an amazing personality as well.
Yeah, I think we can definitely touch on this. Like, past the time where Gordon Banks unfortunately had his accident and retired again, it's something we probably won't cover in depth. It's a bit of a dampener on what is a great story for Gordon Banks, for sure. But his time afterwards as well, you know, he loves Stoke City up until the day he died. You know, he was club president again for Stoke. You know, he wasn't a local boy. I believe he was sort of Sheffield way from when I was speaking to Tony on the event calendar last time, 2019, when I was doing this. I believe Banks was sort of that way anyway. And yeah, he sort of settled in the area once he'd been to America and back, obviously, after leaving us. And again, it's just lovely to see someone of that caliber, of Gordon Banks, the greatest goalkeeper of all time, let alone for Stoke, the greatest goalkeeper of all time. And he just loves Stoke City.
Yeah, you know, he it's well reported that he fell in love with the area, that he loved the supporters, that he loved the club. I can't really remember him doing too many interviews where he doesn't talk about Stoke City and he doesn't talk about the area. And he always spoke incredibly positively about, you know, not just the club, but also the people, the area, the city. You know, a wonderful representative, as well as a wonderful player as well.
For sure. Like his history within this football club in the area is too seismic to cover, isn't it, really? And mm-hmm. I think, you know, if we're talking off the pitch, it speaks volumes to the player that we lost when we replaced him with a world record transfer in Peter Shilton when he joined, but also now, as he was the outgoing club president, unfortunately, when he passed, we've literally not replaced him. I guess how, without some time passing for sure, how could you? There can't be many people who can live up to that reputation. And as you said, just as a man, I actually met Gordon Banks in a Pizza Hut once. I very rudely interrupted his meal with his family and asked him for a photograph. Of course, being the good soul he is, he obliged and he stopped having his pizza and he stood up to have a photograph of me. And yeah, like that says enough. And it's also weird that you know, you're talking about these footballers, these legends of the game, household names, and you can still see them in Pizza Hut. You wonder whether you do that these days, but it's one that warms my heart. I love Gordon Banks, and without ever seeing him play, I think he's one of my favorite Stoke players, but just in so many different ways other than, you know, being able to see him play.
Absolutely. And I don't want to sort of round off on a negative, but his career was ended prematurely due to a car crash. You know, I think it was over 200 stitches that he had.
Yeah.
In and around his eye, which ultimately meant he had to retire early as a professional footballer. But having said that, you know, he went across to America for a couple of seasons.
Yes.
And played there. And, you know, in 1977, despite having only vision in his left eye and no vision in his right eye, he was still named goalkeeper of the year. And he still posted the best defensive record in the league that year. You know, so it kind of shows how good he must have been to have limited / no vision in one eye and still be able to be nominated as the goalkeeper of the year in the MLS. So what a guy, fundamentally, and again, what a wonderful representative both for the club and for the city.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't think of any better way to round that off. You know, just do your research on Gordon Banks. He's fantastic, and we miss him dearly today. I think just a wonderful representative in so many ways. And with that, I think it's right that we close day 11 of the advent calendar. Thank you very much once again, Martin. I feel like we did a great job of that one in the 10-15 minutes we had. Difficult to do these justice sometimes in the short time we have, but yeah, I think yeah, we did a good job of that. If you think so as well, then just as a reminder again, we are running a fundraiser for this mini series, the advent calendar. If you got the spare change over the Christmas period, understandable if you don't, or if you'd like to give it to a different cause, that's absolutely fine. But if you are able to donate towards the Donna Louise Trust, me and Martin would be hugely grateful if you would be able to spare a couple of quid just to throw into that. The link is in the description of this podcast, and also I'll post that on social media too throughout Advent. And of course, this podcast is about you as a Stoke fan getting involved in a similar way to what Martin has done, but you can tell your Stoke City story on this podcast from start to finish, as detailed as you like. Go back and listen to some previous episodes if you don't know what I'm talking about, and you can get involved at thewowwowfiles.com. That's it for day 11. Thank you very much for listening, and until the next one, busy Nita 40.